Okay, today's daf is Brachot Yud Dalet. We're at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. First, we need to remind ourselves of two of the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, because we're going to speak a little bit about them at length. So, Rabbi, we spoke about when exactly you're allowed to pause in the middle of Shema and for what reasons. According to Rabbi Meir, you're allowed to pause in between paragraphs to greet those you have respect for or to respond. And in between psukim, you're allowed to greet those that you have fear for and to respond. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to, in between psukim, you're allowed to respond, you're allowed to greet those you have fear for and respond to those that you have respect for. Or in between paragraphs, you're allowed to greet those you have respect for and respond to anyone. Right? Those are the perspectives. And now we're going to ask some questions on those perspectives. At the two dots. Beprakim Shoel Vechule. Mashiv Machamat Mai. According to Rabbi Meir, what does it mean in the Reisha when he's speaking about responding out of respect? Right? For what reason are you allowed to respond? If it's you're allowed to respond because you have respect for the person, you have to show respect for this individual, since I already know that you're allowed to initiate the greeting, did you need to tell me, did you teach me explicitly that you're allowed to respond? It's more obvious that you're allowed to respond than to initiate. Responding, that's offensive. Someone went out of their way to greet you and you're not going to respond. But if you're already allowed to initiate that greeting, all the more so you're allowed to respond. So once you already told me you're allowed to initiate the greeting, why would you be telling me that you need to respond? No, it must be the way Rameir meant is that you're allowed to initiate the greeting to someone you respect. And what did he mean by respond? To anyone. You're allowed to respond to anyone who greets you. Ema Seifa. But look at the Seifa. We have a similar question at the end of the Mishnah. Uba emza shoel mipnei hayira u mashiv. Right? That in between psukim, you're allowed to greet someone out of fear and respond. Meshiv machamat mai. Why, for what reason are you allowed to respond? Ilema b'nei hayira, you're allowed to respond because you have fear of this person. Hashna mishal shali adur mibaya. Now that you've already taught me that I'm allowed to initiate a greeting for someone because I have fear for them, isn't it obvious that I'm allowed to respond if they greet me? El b'nei hakavod. No, rather, you're allowed to initiate the greeting for someone you have yira to, for, you have fear for, but you're only allowed to respond to someone that you have respect to. Hainu the Rabbi Yehuda. But we just turned Rabbi Meir's opinion into Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That's literally exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. D'tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be'emtza shol b'nei yira, meishu b'nei hakavod, in between psukim, you're allowed to respond, you're allowed to initiate out of fear and respond out of respect. And in between paragraphs, you're allowed to initiate from honor, for out of respect, and respond to anyone. So you just turn your the way you touch up Rabbi Meir is very nice, but it just turns him into Rabbi Yehuda. Chasuri mechzer v'achikdani. No. Really, this is what the answer is. It's a chasuri mechzera. There are words missing from this Mishnah. Let's just be clear. There are no words missing from this Mishnah, right? The Mishnah was written in shorthand, either because this is the first time they're writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, so they wrote it in a very, very concise fashion, or because they wanted to write it in a way that was easy to remember it, and so they wrote it in a specific style that was easy to remember. And therefore, it should be read in theory with the following words, but it was left out intentionally for the sake of the flow of the Mishnah, or for the brevity of the Mishnah. Right? Rather, so how should it be read? The prakim shol b'nei hakavod, the ein tzarich lomar shu meshiv. Rather, what is a Rameir Shita? In between paragraphs, you're allowed to initiate the greeting for someone you have respect for, and it is needless to say that you may respond as well. Ube'emtza, and in between psukim, shoel v'pnei ha'yira, you may greet someone out of fear, ve'ein tzarech lomar shehu meshiv. And it is obviously needless to say that you're allowed to respond to him as well. Divrei Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Yubri Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, be'emtza shoel v'pnei ha'yira, meshiv v'pnei ha'kavod. And in between psukim, you are allowed to respond out of fear and you're allowed to initiate a greeting you're allowed to respond out of fear and initiate out of kavod. And in between paragraphs, you're allowed to respond to someone that you have respect, you're allowed to initiate for someone you have respect for and respond out of fear. Now, I want to clarify something because I think it's important, because you may be looking at this and wondering, wait, our question on the Mishnah was, Why do you need to teach me that I'm allowed to respond? Once you teach me that I'm allowed to initiate, isn't it obvious that I'm allowed to respond? And the Gemara basically answers with, yes, it is obvious that you're allowed to respond. Oh, but it's okay, because the way the Mishnah was supposed to have been written was, we're teaching you one law, and it is obvious, and goes without saying, that the other law is true as well. Why does that help me? Right? I mean, that was exactly your question. Why would you teach us? It's obvious. The answer is, yeah, it's obvious, but it was also supposed to say that it was obvious. So why does that help me? So we have to understand, first of all, the Mishnah is not the Torah. Right? The Mishnah is not the Torah. The Torah, there's no extraneous words. If anything is there, it's not for no reason. Right? There's an explicit reason for every single word there, and it's going to teach you something. The Mishnah is not that way. It is legitimate for the Mishnah to write things that it didn't need to write. However, didn't need to write is a strong word. It is legitimate for the Mishnah to write things that are obvious. Is allowed to write things that are obvious. However, that may not be our first assumption. Our first assumption would be, if you're writing me something I would clearly already know beforehand, and I know the Mishnah likes to be brief, right? Then, if you're writing it, it's probably for a reason. Now, what is that reason? My first assumption would be, there is a law that I did not know before you wrote this thing. So even though it looks obvious, it comes to teach me. That was our first assumption, so we tried to suggest, within Rabbi Meir's opinion, that actually these words were offering something new. You thought it meant initiate a greeting out of respect and respond to a greeting out of respect. Really, it meant initiate a greeting out of respect and respond to anyone. That was our first attempt. We rejected that because it means that there would be no debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. But now so what we've come up with is, yes, it did not need to teach these things. They were obvious. Okay, then why did they still write them? Because teaching you new things is not the only goal the Mishnah has. Here in particular, I would assume the reason it wrote Rabbi Meir the way it wrote it, the way the Mishnah wrote Rabbi Meir, was so that it mirrored Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Right? It mirrored the language used to explain Rabbi Yehuda's perspective. Because if you wrote Rabbi Meir in the most brief way possible, all you would need to say is, in between prakim, you're allowed to initiate out of honor. In between psukim, you're allowed to initiate out of fear. Whereas by Rabbi Yehuda, it would have to do the chiluk, would have to divide, distinguish between initiating and responding, both by the psukim and the paragraphs, because he actually has a halachic distinction between initiating and responding. In which case, you'd end up with a resha and a seifa of the Mishnah, which don't reflect each other. And for the sake often of memory, they formulated it in a very clear, concise way, you want to have them reflect one another. So you have Rabbi Meir's Shita, which is this about responding, this about initiating, this about responding, this about initiating, psukim paragraphs. And then Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, this about responding, this about initiating, this about responding, this about initiating, and psukim paragraphs. Even though you did not need to write that by Rabbi Meir, because you wrote it by Rabbi Meir, I can recall the shitas more easily and the opinions flow more easily because they reflect the same language. Okay, that's just a little bit of background in why the Mishnah formulates things the way that it does. Similarly, we taught in the Braita, and once you have this Braita, you just know that this is exactly the right conclusion by the Mishnah. Right? The Braita is a little bit less concise than the Mishnah. Tanan Rihaki, Akoret Shema, Upagabo Rabo, O Gadol Himenu, Baprakim, Shol Bne Kavar, and Tech Lomar Shu Meshiv. Right? If you're in the middle of Kriyat Shema and someone you respect who's greater than you comes up to you, you're allowed to initiate a greeting out of respect for him, and obviously you're allowed to respond if he already says to you, right? Meaning, here's the Braita, and it writes explicitly in Tzarech Lomar that obviously you don't need to say that this is also true. Uba emtza shol lipnei hayir of emtza lomar meishiv divrei Rimeir. This is the shita of Rimeir, that in between psukim, you're allowed to initiate out of fear, and obviously you're allowed to respond out of fear. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Emza Shalom Ibn Ayiro Meshiv Ibn Ayakavod. And Rabbi Yehuda explains that in between psukim, you're allowed to respond to someone that you have fear for, or initiate for someone you have respect for. Rabbi Shalom Ibn Ayakavod Meshiv Lekol Adam. And in between paragraphs, you're allowed to respond to someone that you have respect, you're allowed to initiate to someone you have respect for, and you're allowed to respond to just anyone who greets you. Baminei Achi Tam Debei Rabbi Chia Merabbi Chia. So Achi is an Amora who learned the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chia, and he asked Rabbi Chia the following question. Bahalal b'megillah, ma'ushiyafsik, we just spoke about interrupting in the middle of Kriyat Shema. What about things like Halel and Megillah? Can I interrupt in those? Amrinan kal v'chomer? Kriyat Shema Deoraita Posek Halal Derabana and Mibaya Odima Presumi Nisa Adif. Should we make the following Kal V'chomer? Kriyat Shema is a Torah level obligation. Halal is a Derabanan obligation. So if I can interrupt Kriyat Shema, all the more so I can interrupt Halal. Sounds like a logical Kal V'chomer. Alternatively, I might say, no, because there is a Persume Nisa, the publication of a miracle aspect that it comes along with Halal, and with Megillah for that matter, that gives it a special significance, even though it's only Derabanan, that I shouldn't interrupt. Amar Le Posek Vein Bekach Klum. No, you're allowed to interrupt between Halal and Megillah, and you don't, and there's no concern that you're doing something wrong, none whatsoever. Amar Rabba, Yamim Sheyachid, Gomer Ben Eta Halal, Ben Perek Leperek, Posek Be'emza Perek. Eno Posek. Right. So the days that, I'm going to translate this literally because there's widespread debate of what this actually means, the days that an individual finishes Hallel, in between the paragraphs, you're allowed to interrupt. But in between the psukim within the paragraph, you're not allowed to interrupt. V'yamim she'ena yachid gomer ben Hallel, and the days that an individual does not finish saying Hallel, Afilu be'emza ha'perek posek. Even in between psukim of one paragraph, you are allowed to interrupt. Now, according to Tosfot, what that is referring to is days where halal is an obligation, is a chova, like it's a because it's a chag, or days where it's just a minhag, it's established in memory of something, or it was taken upon on an individual basis. But there are times where halal is an absolute obligation, and there are times that halal was just adopted as a minhag. Right? That's how Tosfot differentiates between them, where when it's an obligation, you have to show it more respect, and you can't stop in the middle of psukim. The way the Ramban understands this is that he takes gomer very literal, finishing. Why would he? Well, what's the significance of finishing Hallel? There are days that we don't finish Hallel, right? There are 18 days a year that we say a full Hallel with every paragraph, and all the other times we say Hallel, like on Rosh Chodesh, you skip a few paragraphs, right? And so that's how the Ramban is mechalek here. That finishing Hallel means you say the entire Hallel. In that case, you're not allowed to interrupt in between psukim. But if it's a shortened Hallel, you're allowed to interrupt between psukim. Any, is this really true? V'ha Rav Bar Sheba Ikla Gabe Deravina V'yamim She'enu Yachid Gomer Et HaHalel Hava V'lo Pasikle. But is that really the case? Because we know that Rav Bar Sheba went to visit Ravina, and it was a day that the individual does not finish Hallel, right? Meaning you're allowed to make a Havsak, you're allowed to interrupt. V'lo Pasikle, but he didn't interrupt. Shani Rav Bar Sheba De'lo Chashiv Le Deravina. Oh, that's not a proof. Ravina didn't think Rav Bar Sheba was more important than him. Right? As we said, the reason that you stop and greet someone is mipnei hakavod. Ravina didn't feel like Rav Bar Sheba was any more important than he was, so he didn't stop and greet him. Ba'mine Asiyan Tanadabe Rabbi Ami Rabbi Ami. Right? So Asiyan, who is a namora in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Ami, asked Rabbi Ami the following question. Hashari b'ta'anit mao shiyitom. Right? If someone is in a fast, is he allowed to taste something? Achila v'shtia kabilei v'haleika odima hana kabilei v'haika. What is a fast that you cannot eat or drink? Or is it a fast you can't get any benefit, any enjoyment from food or water? Amarle toim vein b'kach klum. He's allowed to taste, and there's no concern that he's doing anything wrong. Tana mihachi, similar to Tana Breita, in a Breita, mita emet eina toen a bracha. Just tasting something doesn't require a bracha. Vasharui b'tanit toim vein b'kach klum. And if you're in a fast, you're allowed to taste something, and there is no issue whatsoever. Ad kama, Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Asi, tamei ad shiur, Rabbi Yata. According to Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi, the taste is up until a revi'it, which is a halachic measurement, he's still considered tasting and not considered eating. Amarav kolanotin shamlo chaver kolam shit padal kilo asa Obama. Kilo asa Obama. Anyone who greets his friend before he davens has made his friend into a bama. Just to clarify, a bama was an altar made up of one large stone that is prohibited to bring korbanot to Hashem on. You have to bring korbanot on a mizbeach, which is an altar made up of multiple stones, right? So a bama is exclusively used to either improperly serve God or serve other gods. And so if you greet your friend before you greet God, what you're doing is that the idea behind this is you make him into a bama, meaning you're not serving God properly. Alternatively, you're placing some other concern beyond God, which would be tantamount to avodah zarah. Shenemar, as it states, Chadalu lachem min ha'adam asher nishma ba'apo, ki bameh nichshav hu. And he reads it as follows, right? Enough with your concerns, meaning you should not be concerned with honoring people when it's an appropriate time to be honoring God. I mean, don't go out of your way to greet people and talk to people, you know, when it's time, when it's davening time, you're supposed to be honoring God. You don't have to be concerned that some guy walks in the shul and you didn't say hi to him, right? He gets it. You're talking to God now. Right, maybe he doesn't get it, but he should get it. You're talking to God now, right? And so, at the time you're supposed to be honoring God, you don't have to go out of your way to honor people, right? Ki bama nichshav hu, right? And if you are going out of your way to honor people at the time that you're supposed to be honoring God, you have made him into a bama. Meaning, this is a rich, like the proper pronunciation is bame, right? And we say here, or Rav says here, read bame as bama. Meaning, if you're honoring other people instead of honoring God, when you're supposed to be honoring God, you turn those people into a bama, which is an illegitimate way of serving God. Al tikri bama el bama, right? Read it as bama. Vishmuel amar bama chashavto laze velo leloka. Meaning, Shmuel says you actually don't even have to change the word, and you get the same idea, right? Meaning, initially, what was the word bama? Right. By what means are you honoring this person over God? I mean, that's the literal reading of the pasuk, right? Meaning, you shouldn't be honoring people instead of honoring God at the time that's appropriate to be honoring God. Because by what means are you giving, for what reason are you giving more honor to people than you're giving to God? Meaning, I don't even have to change the pasuk to bama to say that you're serving him in an illegitimate way through an altar to false gods. I keep the same word because it means the same thing. Why are you showing this guy more honor than you're showing God? What does it mean that, in between paragraphs, you're allowed to greet someone out of kavod and respond to them. Sorry, what does it mean that you're allowed to greet someone out of kavod in between paragraphs? That's talking about going out of your way to the person's house to go greet them. Meaning, like, you're on your way to Shacharit, and every morning you pass by your rabbi's house. You're like, you know what would be a great idea if I just went to go say hi to my rabbi to greet him? No, you have to greet a Kadosh Baruch Hu first. Oh, because you have honor for him, you're allowed to, but you can't do that for your friends, right? That's the chiddush. We're not talking about if he happens to walk by you. We're talking about you can't go out of your way to go to someone's house to greet them in the morning before you daven shacharit. You're not allowed to take care of your own errands before you daven. So how exactly do we understand this pasuk? How do we use this pasuk to teach that? Tzedek lefanav. First, you need to do tzedek, and afterward, yehalech v'yasim l'derech pamav. Meaning, before you go on your way and do and be involved in everything else you need to be doing, first you have to do tzedek. Rashi says, what is tzedek? Tzedek is tefillah. How do we know that? So first of all, we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Yud Zayin, Shema Hashem Tzedek, that Hashem listens to tzedek. So that sounds like tzedek is something that God listens to, which is tefillah. Additionally, you can suggest in Rashi, look at his words, tefillah shematzdiko leboro. Right? Tefillah makes you a tzaddik to your creator. It's interesting that we see tefillah as a means of making yourself a tzaddik before a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? What that means, very interesting question, but we're falling behind, so I'm gonna go forward. Not just are you supposed to daven beforehand and then engage in your errands, but if you daven beforehand and then went and engaged in your errands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes what you're doing that day successful. Why? Vayasim l'derech pama. That if you daven first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to set the path before you. He's going to take care of things for you when you're going on your way. Anyone who sleeps 7 days in a row and doesn't have a dream is called wicked. Shenemar v'sava yalin bal yifkod ra. Satiated, if you go to sleep satiated, you are not visited by evil. Okay, how does that help us? Al tikri sava ela sheva. Right, don't read it as satiated, rather sheva, seven, which is the same exact letters, which means if you go to sleep seven, And you have to put the pause in a different place as well. Instead of saying you're not visited by bad, if you go to sleep seven and you're not visited, that is bad. Right? What does it mean not to be visited in your sleep? What does it mean to be visited by in your sleep? Well, we'll see in the continuation of Brachot that we understand dreams to have some significance in the sense that they are this quad. They give you this insight into reality. It's kind of similar to Nevuah. Say that dreams are a 60th of prophecy. Right? So you're not visited basically by this vision, in which case, if you slept 7 days and you're never visited by a dream, that is bad, or you are bad, rather. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Chiya, v'rava hachi amar Rav Chiya, amar Rav Yochanan, kol masbia atzmo v'divrei Torah v'lan, em v'asrinoto b'sorot ra'ot, shenemar v'yisba yalin, v'sava yalin bal yifkod ra. Rather, Neri, you should read the pasuk like this. Anyone who satiates himself with Torah before he goes to sleep will not be the recipient of bad tidings. How? Right? You read it like visava, as in you're satiated. What are you satiated with? With Torah. And then you go to sleep, bal yifkad ra. Right? Bad will not be visited upon you. Elohen b'nei aprakim. Right? Back to the Mishnah, we're talking about the different things between the paragraphs. Amar Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Melech Rabbi Yehuda Damar Ben The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even though you're allowed to interrupt between each paragraph, between the end of Vayomer Hashem Elokechem and the beginning of Emet V'yatziv, you don't make an interruption. Why? I'm a Rabbi Bauer, I'm a Yochanan on my time. What's the reason you can't make an interruption? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Dichtiv Vashem Elohim Emet. Right, because the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that refers to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as the God who is Emet. The God who is truth. So we see Hashem, Elohim, and Emet all as one inyan, one matter that belongs together. And because the Vayomer ends with Hashem Elokechem, and Emet V'yatziv starts with Emet, we don't want to interrupt between the idea of Hashem Elohim and Emet, which belong together in theory. Chozer v'omer Emet, or eno chozer v'omer Emet, right? This happens in Shul all the time, right? You say Hashem Elokechem Emet. Right? And then you're waiting for the chazan to start, and he says, Hashem Elokechem Emet. Now you're starting V'yatziv, or now you're starting V'emuna. Do you say Emet V'yatziv and Emet V'emuna, or do you just pick up from V'yatziv and V'emuna? Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chozer V'omer Emet. You have to say it again. So Hashem Elokechem Emet, Emet V'yatziv V'nechon, Rabba Omer, Eno Chozer V'omer Emet. You don't repeat and say Emet, just point out that the Rambam, this is how the Rambam paskins. Rabbi, there's a certain person who saw Rabbi davening, and he said Emet twice. Amar Rabbi, call Emet Emet Tafsilah. You know, I just kind of get stuck on the word Emet, right? So he had a stutter, almost. He just stuttered on the word Emet. He said Emet, 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 Emet. But he didn't intend for it. He wasn't, like, passing Allah that way. It was a mistake. He didn't have the intention to do so. By the way, there's a minhag, I think it's first quoted in the Zohar, actually, that the chazan goes back and says Emet. But notice, what does he say? Hashem Elokechem Emet. Meaning he finishes the last paragraph, then he says Hashem Elokechem Emet. Meaning he does repeat it, but he won't just say Emet alone. He'll say the full idea of Hashem Elokechem Emet. Amar Rav Yosef, Kama Ma'aliyah Hashem Atzta Dechiyata Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Amri B'marava Arvit Da'bero B'nei Yisrael Amar Talehem Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet. How nice is that? How beautiful is that pshat that they had in Eretz Yisrael, that what they would do in the evening when they're saying Kriyat Shema is they would say Da'bero B'nei Yisrael, the beginning of Vayomer, Amar Talehem, and say to them, and they would just fast forward Ani Elokechem Emet. Right? I am, you know, the true God. And why would they say that? Because it's the parsha of tzitzit, and you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzit at night. And the only reason we even say Vayomer at night is because it mentions Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we learned earlier that you're supposed to say Yetziat Mitzrayim at night as well. Amar Leibai, my Yutav, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav, Lo Yachiv Matchil Gomer. What beautiful pshat? Oh, what's so beautiful about that pshat? Right? Our tradition, according to Rav Kana, the name of Rav, is that you don't need to start it at all. But if you did start it, you obviously have to finish it. Well, you could say, V'amarta Alehem, that's not considered that you've already started. But you already started saying the words, right? Yeah, but you haven't gotten to the goof of the Inyan. You haven't gotten to what the tefillah is talking about. All you said was, and then God said to Moshe, say to the Jewish people. That's not dealing with the matter. Once you get into the crux of the matter of the tefillah, at that point you can't stop. And so maybe you want to say that just V'amart Alehem is not considered really starting the tefillah. V'amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, Dabar Rav Bnei Yisrael, Lo Havi Atchala, V'amart Alehem, Havi Atchala. But no, we already have a tradition that says that the Beir B'nai Israel is not considered starting, but Vamar Talehem, that is already considered that you started the Tefillah. Amar Rav Papa Kastavim Rav Vamar Talehem, Nami Lo Avi Atchala, Adam Rav Asulem Tzitzit. Right? So, but in Israel, you're right, that's our tradition in Babel. In Israel, they have a different tradition. That until the words Vasulem Tzitzit, you haven't really started it, because Vasulem Tzitzit is when it starts to get into the topic upon which the Tefillah is based. Amar Rabbi Hilkach, Anan Atchulim Atchilinan, Dekam Itchalei B'marabba, Dekivan Datchilan, Migmar Nami Gamrinan, Dehama Rav Kana, Amar Rav, Lo Yatchil Vim Itchil Gomer. Because they start the Tefillah, I mean, we didn't have to start at all, no one had to start. But because they start the Tefillah in Eretz Yisrael, so we like to emulate them in what they do in Eretz Yisrael, so we're also going to start the Tefillah. Now, they're allowed to stop and just finish, because that's their minhag, that you're allowed, that you don't have to say the whole thing. But because our minhag is, once you said that much, you have to say the whole thing, and we only started because they started, but our minhag is once you started to say the whole thing, so we just continue to say the whole thing. Chiyavar Rav Amar Ani Hashem Elokechem Tzarech Lomar Emet. Right? If you said Ani Hashem Elokechem, you got to say Emet. Right? You don't have to say Ani Hashem Elokechem, but if you did, you have to say Emet. Lo Amar Ani Hashem Elokechem Eno Tzarech Lomar Emet. Right? But if you didn't have to say it, then you wouldn't have to say Emet. V'habayilat Gurei Tzia Mitzrayim. What do you mean? You have to mention Tzia Mitzrayim. How do you leave at the end of Vayomer? That's the Tzia Mitzrayim. It's the whole reason we're saying in the first place. Damar Hachi Modi Menachnu Lcha Hashem Elokeinu Shotiyatanu Meretz Mitzrayim Pirtanu Meit Abadim Asitelanu Nisim Vegvurot Alayam V'shanu Lcha. Yeah, we wouldn't say Vayomer. We would say this really special, nice tefillah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yetziyah Mitzrayim and reminding him that we sing a song of praise. Right, we don't have to say Vayomer. We just could have mentioned Yitzhak Mitzrayim in a different context. I'm Rabbi Shira ben Karcha, Lama Kadam de Parashat Shema. Rabbi Shira ben Karcha asks, so why does Shema come first? Tana Rabbi Shira ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shira ben Yochai says follows. Right, it makes sense that Shema should come before Vayomer because Shema deals with learning and Vahaya deals with teaching. What do you have to do first? You have to learn and then you can teach. Vahaya im Shema le Vayomer shezeh lilmod vezeh lasot. Right, and Vaya comes before Vayomer because Vahaya is speaking about teaching and Vayomer is speaking about lasot. Right, so the order makes sense. Atu Shema lilmod itbe lilamed lasot leitbe. Are you telling me that Shema only talks about learning and it doesn't speak about teaching and doing? Vachti vishinantem vikashartem vikatavtem. Doesn't it say teach your children? That sounds like teaching. Doesn't it say vikashartem? That's tefillin. That's a mitzvah. Vikatavtem? That's mezuzah. That's a mitzvah. V'tu, and furthermore, vayayim shema lilamedu deitbe vilasot leitbe. Does vehaya only have teaching and not doing? Vachti vikashartem vikatavtem. But you also have a mitzvah of mezuzah and tefillin in vehaya. So obviously there's doing in Vahaya, Elahachi Kamar. No. This is how it was stated. This is what his shot was. This is why he believed the order was in the way it was. Bedinu Shatikdam Shema Levahaya im Shemo. It makes sense why Shema comes first. Shazeh Lilmod Vililamid Villa Asot. Because Shema includes learning, teaching, and doing. Vayayim Shemoa Levayomer Shazeh Yeshba Lilmod Villa Asot. Vaya comes before Vayomer because it talks about teaching and doing. Vayomer in Vayelela Asot Bilvad. And Vayomer only speaks about mitzvot, about doing, and that's why it comes last. Vatipu claimed the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. But what was so bad about Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha's answer? Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha gave a beautiful pshat about being mekabel ol malchut shemayim, and only after be mekabel mitzvot. And then because Vayomer is only practiced during the day, where Vehaya is doing during the night and the day, that's why Vehaya comes first. What's the problem with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha's answer? Chada veod chada kamar. Right? No, chada veod kamar chada. He's not arguing, he's just saying there's another reason. It doesn't have to only be one reason. Right, the first reason, like Rabbi Shimon ben Gorcha said, is yeah, you should accept upon yourself Olmechut Shemayim, the heavenly yoke, and then Ol Mitzvot. And furthermore, the things that we just said, Rav Mashi Yadei Vekara Kriyat Shema Vanach Tefillin Vitzali. Right, so Rav would wash his hands, and then he would read Kriyat Shema, and then he put on Tefillin, and then he would daven. How did he do this? Vatania Chofer Kuchla Meid Vekever Patur Mekriyat Shema. If you're digging a ditch to bury a dead body in, you're potter from Kriyat Shema, umin etzvila, umin etzvilin, and from davening and from tefillin, umikol mitzvah amur b'torah, and really from all of the time bound mitzvah, he gives man Kriyat Shema, but once Kriyat Shema comes, olav enotel yadav, you gotta get up and wash your hands, umaniach tefillin, and then put on tefillin, ukara Kriyat Shema, and then reach Kriyat Shema, umitpal, and davening. It's poshut from here that tefillin comes before Kriyat Shema, not after Kriyat Shema. Hagufa kasha. Before we get into addressing the contradiction that you just raised about what Rav did, your whole shot is difficult. Meaning the whole teaching you just brought is difficult. Reisha amar patim v'sei v'chayev. Initially said you were patim from Kriyat Shema, and now you're saying, oh, but once Kriyat Shema comes, you gotta get out, and you gotta start doing all these mitzvot, but I thought you were patim from those things. Halokasha, seifa betray v'reisha v'chayev. No, that's not difficult. The seifa was talking about when you have two people, in which case the other guy can continue digging the ditch, and you switch off. In the beginning, the reisha was talking about when you have one person, then you continue. Mikol makom kasha l'rav. But still, it's very difficult for Rav. Right, because this just suggests that you have to put on tefillin before you do Kriyat Shema. Rav Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha Svirle. No, Rav holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. Damar Or Malchut Shemaim Tchila V'Chargach Ol Mitzvot. Right, first you do Ol Malchut Shemaim and then Ol Mitzvot. Meaning, what is Shema? It's Ol Malchut Shemaim. Right, it's accepting the heavenly yoke upon yourself. And then there's Ol Mitzvot. Then there's the burden of the mitzvah that you accept upon yourself. So how can you put on tefillin, which is a mitzvah, before you said Kriyat Shema? You haven't even accepted Ol Malchut Shemaim yet. Amar Damar Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha lahakdim kriya la kriya kriya la siya mi shamat lay. Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha was only talking about the words that you say of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim Shema, and the words you say of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Mitzvot, which is Vahayag. And he's not talking about, he wasn't talking about the actions of the mitzvot. Of course the actions of the mitzvot can come before Shema. But two, and furthermore, misavar like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha. Vamar Ruchia bar Ashi zimnin sagin ava kamina kamina de rav umakdi and even more so, you have a bigger problem. Who says that Rav holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha? You thought like, no, it's great shot, get this, Rav holds like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, and that's why he puts his tefillin on before, or he says Shema before his tefillin. Really? Because don't we have the following case where Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi says, we always come to Rav's house, and when we get there, he washes his hands, and then he's mevarech birkot haTorah, and then he teaches us Mishnah, and then he puts on tefillin, and then he says Kriyat Shema. So I know that Rav puts on tefillin before Kriyat Shema. V'chitem b'dolat zman Kriyat Shema. You could say, oh, but no, your story is before Kriyat Shema. It wasn't time for Kriyat Shema yet, and that's why you put on tefillin first. Right before Kriyat Shema. But if it's already time for Kriyat Shema, then you say Kriyat Shema. Im kein mazari did Rav Chiya bar Ashi. In which case, what is Rav Chiya bar Ashi bringing this in for? Meaning, what does he want to tell you? Oh, Rav would wash his hands. It was really nice. Or, we all loved going to learn Torah from Rav. It doesn't help us. What, he's bringing this in to teach us a halacha. What was the halacha he was coming to teach us? Because if you want to say that this is before Kriyat Shema, then he's not teaching me the halacha of that Rav Davka put on tefillin before Kriyat Shema. And if he's not teaching me that halacha, then why are you bringing me this story at all? Meaning, why are you bringing up this story? What are you trying to teach me? Obviously, you're trying to teach me that Rav would put on tefillin before Kriyat Shema. No, lafuki man damar lemishnah in sarach levarach kamash malan. No, we were teaching this story because in the story it says that he would make a bracha and then he would teach us Mishnah. And there's a shita that you don't need to make a bracha before Mishnah. That's why he was bringing in the story. The af lemishnah nami tzarech levarech, that even by Mishnah you need a mevarech. Mikol makom kasha l'rav shlucha dehavita. But still, we have a difficulty with Rav, right? Meaning, what we just resolved was the, and furthermore, does Rav even hold like Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha? But we have this story. Okay, we reject that the story isn't a good riot. Granted. But still, Rav teaches it backwards. Still, how does Rav say, how did you see that Rav put on tefillin only after he said Kriyat Shema? Okay, so really it's like this. The Shaliach was the one who messed Rav up here. The Shaliach had to bring Rav's tefillin to him. Rav didn't have his tefillin. By the time the Shaliach got there, it was already Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, and if he put on tefillin before Kriyat Shema, he would have missed Zman. So he said Kriyat Shema only afterward, put on tefillin, but that's not the norm. Alright, we'll stop here.